Everybody look at the person beside you and say, you need a helper. We're not talking no hamburger helper or tuna helper. We're talking we need the helper from above. And I was reading a book from Benny Hinn, and it really got me really focused upon what the Holy Spirit really means to me. And he explained it in such plain, it's so plain. He mentioned in his book, it says, Good Morning Holy Spirit is the name of the book. And it's such a wonderful book. But he says to explain the Holy Spirit is, it's like turning on a light. The Father says, turn the light on. Jesus goes, turns the lights on. And the Holy Spirit, he supplies the power. That's what he does. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And so tonight we're going to just dive in and talk about our helper, the buddy, our buddy, the Holy Spirit. So hallelujah. So let's turn to John 16, 5 through 15. It says, but now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for I do not go away. The helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment, and of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father, and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that I have for the Father are mine, therefore I declare, and he will take of mine and declare it to you. Can you imagine what the disciples were thinking? Like, well, what are you talking about, the helper? We have you here right now. And I just try to put myself in their shoes. I'm like, well, the helper, you are me. There, Jesus was their everything. And now, so we didn't get to see Jesus, but Jesus left us his Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. And through him, he's everywhere. And so he is our helper in our everyday needs. And we need to ask him every single day to help us. Because without that, man, we're just back in the world doing who knows what, when. And everything when I did out of walking the Spirit was always failed miserably. I can think of thousands of times where I failed miserably. And now being in this ministry, learning the things that we learn here that you really don't get taught anywhere else. We are so blessed in that little cul-de-sac in Idaho court, and get the true blessing and the anointing that we get every day, the fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, because he dwells in us if we ask him. And he's a gentleman. He's not going to just come barging your door, but he's there to help you. But he's not going to come help you unless you ask. Amen. Let's go to John 14, 15 through 18. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So that's what he's given, telling his disciples, say, look, listen, I'm leaving, but I'm coming back. I'm not going to leave you alone, empty-handed. I'm still going to be with you, be each and every one of you, just not in a physical form. Now, the Holy Spirit is a form. He's human. He has feelings. He has, he can speak. He can do all kinds of different things. But he's just telling here that I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you, because I am here with you. And when I leave, I'm bringing him who can help more people too out this just besides the disciples. Now on just a couple verses down, John 14:25-26, it reads, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all things I have said to you." How many times since being in this ministry, well, you looked at something like, "I have no idea how to do this." And he's like, you scratching your head, so you try to do it on your own accord, and you end up kicking something, hurting your finger, you know, busting something or another. Then you take a step back and start praying in the Spirit because you don't want to cuss, so you pray in the Spirit instead, right? I mean, am I the only one who does that? So next thing you're praying in the Spirit, next thing you know, you got the answer. I'm not the only one, am I? Come on, look at your neighbor and says, "I'm not the only one." So, yeah, I mean, he knows all things, he is all things, and if you ask him, he's going to give you the answer. And a lot of times, it might not be the answer that you want, but it's the truth, because he's the Spirit of truth. And he cannot deny himself when it comes to that. Now, in our ministry, I see everybody here has been through the ministry, but there's a couple of you that have not. We have a prayer book that has a kingdom card in it. And the beginning of the kingdom card, it says, "Invite the Holy Spirit to help you pray." And we are to do that every single day, as many times as it takes. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, 5 times a day, only in the morning, you know, morning, noon, lunch, you know, dinner, whatever. Whenever you need to pray, you invite him to help you pray, because that's one of his jobs. That's one of his characteristics, is he's to help us pray. So invite him to do that. And another couple things that's in the kingdom card as well is that, I could put my glasses on, I can't see. Remember that he is our teacher and our truth. He teaches us all things, and he tells us all the truth of all things. And then one of the main thing is you invite him. Invite him in to be filled. "Lord, fill me." Invite, Lord, take possession over me. That's what you want. You want the Lord to fill you. You want to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And being filled by the Holy Spirit, he knows all things. So you know all things. You don't know all things, but you know all things. Does that make sense? If any of you don't have prayer books, I think you probably have some here. But the kingdom card is really essential. We're taught here to know it by heart, just like your full armor of God. So I suggest you to get the prayer book and know your kingdom card. Hallelujah. And let's go to Romans 8:26-27. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit who also in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." This is why we ask him to help us pray. Because there's a lot of times we don't know what we ought to pray. A lot of time our prayers are soulish and selfish. And they go, "me, me, 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 me." Instead of the prayers, what need to be sent out of praying. Because this ministry is called for intercession. Is what we do. We are intercessors. That's what we do. That is what our ministry is. When we invite the Holy Spirit into our being, he helps with prayers upon that. That's why we speak in tongues. Amen? And he also, in my dreams, he'll bring a picture to my face, to where I know who automatically wake up and I'll start praying for that person. That's not me. By no means that's not me. That's the Holy Spirit. So by doing the kingdom card and asking him to be filled, to help you, he's a teacher in truth, to ask you to help you pray, that's very vital. And I don't take it for granted, because he is a person. You can't see him, but he's there. I promise you, he is there. Amen. Let's go to Romans 12, please. 1-2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need a daily renewal. Yesterday's precious anointing is good, but that will not sustain us for today. We have our own problems today, so we need a fresh outpouring of Spirit every single day. So we need that renewal as many times as it takes. Because you'll know when the Spirit lifts from you, when you get angry. I mean, I know I can feel it. And all I got to do whatever I can to try and get it back, because it is such joy to walk in the Spirit. And when you're walking not in the Spirit, man, I know how I can feel it. That's why I heard it jump back in my prayer closet, because I don't like myself when I'm not walking in the Spirit. I mean, that's not the person I want to be. So the renewal just isn't in the mornings either. The renewal is any time of day. So you're always being renewed constantly, because we need the fresh outpouring of the Spirit. Because like I said, yesterday's anointing was fantastic. It was wonderful. It's good for wisdom and everything else, but we need it for today. Amen? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and external weight of glory. Do not lose heart for everything that we're doing, because even though yesterday's gone, all that good stuff, remember the afflictions that He put us through to learn for tomorrow. And the Holy Spirit has put us through that. So it was light affliction. But the renewal of the Spirit is brand new. You just keep going and going. It's a wonderful cycle. So whenever you go through it, those afflictions, so they might not seem that light, but when it comes down to it, it really is, when it comes to the greater things of what's going on in this world. So we're just kind of petty with our little problems. That's why I get frustrated sometimes about, I hear, you know, people come puke on me about some silly stuff. I'm like, well, man, I go back and I go, why is this even being brought up? It's so silly, because there's so much bigger things going on other than this petty little garbage of what we're bickering about. I mean, that stuff's got to stop. I mean, we're here as a family. We're here as a unit, a group, driven by the Holy Spirit. So whenever you feel like you're bickering stuff, go in your closet and get renewed. Hallelujah. That's all I got to say about that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12, please. 1 through 11. It says, now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you are Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but is the same God, who works all in all, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And to no one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. These are 9 free gifts. When you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, these gifts are given to you by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is what I don't understand, is Christians, a lot of Christians don't believe in these gifts. Why would, like, think about gifts under a tree. They're your gifts, but I'm not going to open them up. I'm not going to open it up. you know, why wouldn't you want to open it up and see what that gift is and use it, right? That's what today's Christians, we need to be bold, more bold about these gifts and say, look, this is freely for everybody, and you need to open up your gift and use it. I mean, there's so many people who put a roof on God. Don't put the roof on God. Our God, He can't. There's no roof. You don't put a ceiling on Him, because He can do anything at any point in time, and especially with these gifts, and He can give them to you to use as well for it, in His name, for in His glory. But if you don't use them, I mean, that's, you're not gonna go to hell or nothing for it. But why not better your family, your surroundings, and everything else by the use of these gifts? Amen. Speaking of characteristics and gifts and stuff, let's go to Isaiah 11. If you do not have the gift of tongues, pray for that, and you will definitely get it. Praying in tongues is vital. Now, Isaiah 11:2, these are some of the attributes, characteristics of the Spirit. And it says, there come forth a rod from a stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. At any point in time, when you're walking in the Spirit, He can, any troubles that you might be having, you might need counsel, He can be the Spirit of counsel. When you need wisdom, He'll give you wisdom. When you need strength, you pray for strength, He'll come give you strength. He's all these things in one. And it's at His will to give them to you if you have the proper relationship with Him. I mean, one of our main goals needs to be to have that intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, which is freedom. Hallelujah. How many of y'all know that the Holy Spirit brings freedom? I'm a complete witness of that, because I see the lives being changed each and every day from the brothers and sisters I have in this ministry. And you can sense the freedom, the release of all the nastiness of all the demons, all of the entanglements of this world is lifted off each and everybody when you get filled by the Holy Ghost. And He brings that freedom, that sense of freedom that I've never felt anywhere else. You think you're free, but you're really not. I mean, it's a false sense of freedom. But the Holy Spirit brings a real, true freedom. I've never slept better in my entire life. I mean, it is. It's a wonderful thing to go to bed at night and know, oh, just free, just not nice, easy sleep. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So from there, let's go to Galatians 5:16 through 18. I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The flesh and the Spirit is constantly, constantly battling one another. That old man always wants to rear its ugly head. And it's up to us to kick that old man in the butt and say, no, not today. I'm walking in the Spirit, because it's a constant clash to me, because we're born into sin. And so therefore the Spirit can't dwell with sin. So that's why we got to kick that old man. That's why we walk in the Spirit. Amen. Put that one simple. Let's go to Psalm 139, 7 through 10. where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. It's us that turns away from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always there. He's omnipresent. Omnipresent means he's everywhere at all times. There's no time restraint on him. He can be anywhere. Unlike the other angels like Gabriel, Lucifer, they can only be one place at one time. But the Holy Spirit, he's part of the triune God. He's all powerful. He's omnipotent, and he's omnipresent. So anywhere you go, he will be there, and it's us that turns away from him. So always remember that. Hallelujah. Let's go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Now stop right there real quick. When we praise and worship tonight, that was the exchange being made. Is our heart for his heart. That's what we want. We want his heart. We don't want that stony heart. We want the heart of flesh of love and everything else. We always ask for the exchange. That was the exchange, that one of the exchanges that was being made tonight. Hallelujah. And verse 27 says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. The Holy Spirit will cause you to walk right with the Lord. He will convict you of sin. And that's the main thing, one of the main things that we want from the Holy Spirit, is to walk in the Spirit means to walk straight on with the Lord. And we're always looking for conviction. When conviction comes quick, conviction a lot of times will come faster than you can sin, so you know to turn from it before it even happens. He'll cause you to do that when you ask him. That's only if you invite him into your life and you get that intimate relationship with him. Amen. Let's go to Isaiah, verses 1 and 2. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison, those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. We are called through him to speak the word and to live it, to heal the wounded, to show that there is freedom from the world through the Holy Spirit, Jesus and God, the triune. And there's freedom there. There's we're to proclaim that wherever we go, not even by our words. A lot of times, words are nothing, just by the way you present yourself, by the way you walk in a place. And a lot of times you can deceive the glow when you're in the Spirit. You can sense that. If there's something different about him, he must be walking in the Spirit. I want what that guy has. So just a real quick testimony. When I first came in the ministry eons ago, this is my second time around. This is back in like 2009. My aunt and uncle brought me to a Friday night service. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'll give it a try. I didn't really know anything. I went to church a couple times with my uncle, but I didn't know what I was in for. So at that point in time, the congregation was rather large. There was probably 70 people probably there. And it was a different church, and the river was really big. I went in there, man, my eyes got all big. I'm like, what in the world? Bunch of crazy people running in a circle. However, what I saw on those brothers' faces was this glow, and everybody was smiling, joyous in the Spirit. And even though I didn't make it through the whole service because I was freaked out, because still I thought about a bunch of crazy people, that really burnt an image in my mind that whole night. That's all I saw was the image of the happiness and the glow on these guys' faces. And so I got up the next morning. I was like, man, I know what that was, but that's what I want. I have to have that look that they have. And there's a lot of times you don't even say nothing. It's just by your appearance and the way you are that can change somebody's life. And fortunately, I was able to knock on pastor's door and he let me in. So that was a good thing. He's like, oh, you left. I'm like, yeah, y'all are crazy. It was crazy back then. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that we have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words, with man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Spirit teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For he has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him, that we have the mind of Christ. Through the Holy Spirit we have his mind. He will teach us all things and guide us through all things in any of our troubles. Romans 8, 1 through 17. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. He has given us power over sin. We have dominion over sin. Hallelujah. Verses 3. For what the law could not do and what was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. He gives us power over sin. Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. He will give you the mind of God. That's another one of his good things that he does for us. Next, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. He will give you righteousness when you are dwelling in him and he's fulfilling you. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. He will give life to your body as well. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. He will show you to die to yourself. He will show you what death really is upon living in the Spirit. We're living for God, not for ourselves. For if you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, But he received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. He will testify of our salvation as well. And in closing, he helps us, he guides us, he teaches us, he speaks, he reveals, he instructs, he testifies of Jesus, he comforts, he calls us, he fills us, he strengthens us, he prays for us, he prophesies through us, he is the truth, he brings joy, he brings freedom, he helps us obey, he transforms us, he lives in us, he brings freedom, he renews us, he produces good fruits in us, he gives gifts, he leads, he convicts, he sanctifies, he empowers, he unites us, he seals us, and he gives us access to the Father, and he shows us his patience, and he casts out demons. He is our advocate, our buddy, our best friend. He is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. We ask, Lord, that your word just hits fertile ground and grows and bears fruit for your glory, Lord. We ask for a fresh outpouring of your Spirit, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you just give us more of you, Lord. That just give us that burning desire of that intimate relationship with, that we need with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Give us that conviction each and every day, Lord, that we need. Tap us on our shoulder, Lord, or smacks on the back of the head, where we need to do to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives each and every day, Lord. Just bless you. We thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.